We think we've saved probably somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 per year over the last 3 years because of house sitting.
Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast. I'm Michael and I'm here with Natalie, and we're coming to you still from Darwin.
Hot and steamy in Darwin.
That's what she said. Anyway, so house sitting wasn't something we planned. Actually, to be honest, doing a lap of Australia wasn't something we planned. It was a bit of a spur of the moment thing. Well, as you know, as much as a 3 month planning process can be, where we came up with the idea of, hey, let's do a lap around Australia. We made the decision, you know, within the space of about an hour, and a few months later, we were on the road. One of the amazing things about that was, that was actually probably the hardest decisions we've had to make. Once we hit the road, it opened up our eyes to a world of possibilities and all these opportunities that we never thought possible. Our family housing another house, we would never have dreamed of that before. So for that to come up now as an idea of something to do, to go to Darwin and house it for a few months, amazing.
Oh my gosh. So I come up with the ideas and I say, hey, how about we do this? Like, how about we house it? And Michael's like, yes, right, let's do it. And he'll whiz into action and he won't stop until we're doing it. So I'm the dreamer and he makes the things happen. So it's exhausting to be around 24/7. Before, he used to put some of this energy into working, but this house sit. I've had quite a few people ask us how it was that we came about getting a house in Darwin, and as well, people wonder how a family can get a house sit, because I guess a family with three small children wouldn't be as great as having maybe some grey nomads come in who sleep in the caravan, maybe use the kitchen to make a cup of tea, watch a bit of daytime TV and whatnot. So it can be
Matlock.
So we found our house sit through a Facebook group, and the most beautiful family are taking off on their caravan adventure, and they opened up their house for us to come in and look after it for that time. So we're very grateful and we hope that they're having an amazing time on their caravan adventure. But there are other ways of finding house sits as well, and there are plenty of people that are willing to open up their homes to families. One day I was on Facebook and I saw someone saying just that they were having no luck finding a house sit because no one seemed to want to take families in. And it was there that I came across a lovely lady called Karen. And she said that her family had been house sitting full time for the last couple of years, which I found absolutely amazing. And I had to get in contact with her. So I messaged her and she straight away agreed to come on our podcast and share her hints and tips, and also her stories about how they have house sat full-time for the last several years. So please enjoy our interview with Karen. Welcome, Karen, to the Family Travel Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So we are excited to have you on today because you are an expert in what we are beginners at, and that is the wide world of house sitting. Can you tell us a bit about your background house sitting and your family? And I gather you travel a lot. Just give our listeners a bit of a rundown on all of that.
Absolutely. So we've now been house sitting for nearly 3 years. I think we're up to 30. I'm starting a new house sit in a couple of days, and I think that's number 37 or 38 that we've done in the last 3 years. It all came about because we decided to start traveling full time. We sold everything we owned and decided to hit the road. And we realized really quickly that accommodation was going to be one of the greater costs of our travel budget. And I stumbled across the idea of house sitting. And to me, as a family, it made perfect sense. Not only would it save us a lot of money, but it actually gives us a home environment, lots of benefits to it. So essentially, it's led our travels for the last 3 years and has taken us all over the world.
So this might be a bit of a case of the chicken or the egg? Is it a case of the awesome house sits come up and that tells you where to go, or you have a destination in mind and you look for the house sits, or is it a bit of a combination?
Bit of a combination of both, but for the most part, we follow the house sits. So essentially, it comes down to what house sit becomes available on the date that we're about to finish one. And if it's within an easy distance for us to get to, then absolutely. If it's somewhere we haven't been and it's an area that we want to explore, then off we go.
Wonderful. I'm really interested in some of the places that you've been to that you've house at. I mean, we haven't looked further afield than Australia and in specifically Darwin, where we've done two in a row now. Where have you guys been?
We started off in Perth over on the west coast of Australia, and then we headed off. The next house sit was actually in the United Arab Emirates, about an hour and a half out of Dubai. We've gone to Spain, to Sweden. We had a month in the snow in Sweden, which was amazing for us because we don't live in the snow here in Australia. We have to go to the snowfields. And then we've been places like South Korea, all through Southeast Asia, Thailand, Malaysia. We even did a five-week house sit for a soccer player over in China. So, yeah, that was really exciting. So, yeah, it's taken us all over the place. We spent 8 months in Mexico. We had 8 months in San Miguel de Allende in Mexico, and we just moved from house to house to house every month. So we were able to kind of settle down and sort of plant some roots, but we still got the benefit of the house sitting and moving regularly, which as a family we love to do.
That entire itinerary sounds amazing. I think the one I'm most impressed by was going from Perth to the UAE. Can you tell me how your travels all of a sudden went from being domestic in Australia to all of a sudden going on the other side of the world? That's a big leap.
For sure, it was. Our plan when we left Australia was to go international straight away. So the first house sit I picked up was with a lady that I met through an online group, and she's actually another Aussie. So she actually comes from 2 hours away from me, and we connected really well because of that. And she and her family are actually living in Al Ain in the UAE. Now, I'd never even heard of the place, so I'm quickly sort of Googling where in the world is this place and messaging my husband saying, hey, do you want to go to the UAE for a month? And you know, we didn't know anything really about the UAE, but you know what? Let's just have an adventure. And that was sort of where we were going to start. And then it just so happened that I managed to find a house sit in Perth that perfectly fitted into the time frame before that. So
isn't it lovely how that happens? We've just had the same happen to us, and it's the world is on our side.
Absolutely.
So you said that you found that particular house sit through a group. Has always been via the one avenue that you found your house sits, or do you have a variety of ways?
Well, that house sit was with another family that I'd met through just a family-orientated group. But for the most part, there's the main site I use is Trusted House Sitters. A lot of our house sits have come through there. We've managed to pick up a few from word of mouth in house it. In Mexico, we used House Sit Mexico. And then the other one that I absolutely love is House Sit Match. They're really big throughout Europe. And the customer service from House Sit Match is unparalleled by anybody else. The team there look after you really well and do an amazing job of helping you find a house sit.
Okay. So one of the, I guess, misperceptions that we've come across, and already, you know, we didn't even realize it was a thing until people told us afterwards, is that having children was a barrier. Now, we didn't even know having kids was a barrier to house sitting because, you know, we just picked up two house sits rather easily, I guess. In your experience, has it been much of an issue for you, or have you found it, you know, easier to get into the family-orientated house sits, or, you know, what's been your experience?
I worried about it in the beginning, but I thought, you know what, let me just put it out there and see what happens. And in all honesty, I almost laugh these days when people say, oh, no, I can't do it because I've got kids. Because our kids are our secret weapon. That's how we get a lot of our house sits. Sure, there's going to be couples that say, no, we don't want kids in our home. But there's also couples that are going to say, no, we don't want a couple, we want a single. Or no, we don't want a single, we want couples. Or there's always going to be specific requirements that each homeowner has. For us, we've managed to pick up a lot of house sits because the homeowners have messaged and said, our animals absolutely love kids, so we'd love to have you come and stay. And then once we've gone, we've quite often had homeowners message us and say, oh, the pets are missing your kids so much. They obviously were so well looked after by your kids. And so, yeah, it has not. It's been the opposite of detrimental to us. They've been our secret weapon every step of the way.
Amazing. Yeah, that's really good to hear. And with your children, I gather you seem to take house sits that are a longer period rather than just doing a week here, a week there, obviously, because you have to travel a long way. Do your children go to the local schools and immerse themselves in the local community?
No, we're actually world schooling full time. So our kids are learning from the world around them as we travel. Mm-hmm. So essentially a bit like unschooling, but we're incorporating travel. So, you know, my daughter learnt to count climbing the stairs of, you know, subways and metros in Paris and London and Madrid and places like that. We learn history by visiting, you know, a concentration camp in Berlin, just even spending time in Berlin, and then, you know, Pearl Harbor in Hawaii and all of those sorts of things. So, no, we don't put them into school, but staying at a home for a longer period of time enables us to really feel like we're having a more local experience. And we find as a family, we get really tired if we move too quickly. Our goal is not to go everywhere and see everything as quick as we can. We've got time to spare. Where most people on holiday or on vacation have a limited time, our time isn't limited. So we can go and we can spend a month and we can go out and explore one day and then just have a day at home, getting some work done, or vegging out in front of the TV the next day.
That's an interesting point. You mentioned about staying at home, getting some work done, and spending some longer periods of time in a particular location. Are you guys working locally as well, or how are you funding the travels?
We're funding our travels primarily with online work. Initially, it was through savings, but we've built up a couple of different revenue streams. I have my own digital marketing agency, cabrosi.com, and we work with businesses generating leads to help them grow their businesses. I also have a passion project through which I offer a number of courses to help families that want to travel. So worldschoolingcentral.com is my passion project, and through that I've got a number of courses. So one of them, for example, we have a course that teaches families how to start house sitting with kids.
Wonderful. Well, we'll link to all those in the show notes, and we'll probably ask you a bit about that again at the end so people can know where to find you. But just in regards to applying for house sit, so you said that you're a member of sites such as Trusted House Sitters. Are there any hints and tips you would give listeners if they saw a house sit pop up and they wanted to apply for it and have a good shot at getting it?
Absolutely. The very first thing I would say is check the website often. You want to be really, really quick when you're applying for a house sit. And the reason for that is because particularly in popular areas, these homeowners get inundated with applications. And as you can imagine, if they get 10, 20, 30, 40, I've heard of some homeowners getting 80 applications, they're going to generally find somebody within the first 5 to 10 applications. So I spend a lot of time when I'm actively looking for a house sit, I spend a lot of time checking in regularly with the goal of always being in the first 3 applications. The other thing I would say is apply often and apply to anything that you think could possibly work for you, because it is a numbers game. You might apply for 10 and get one. You might apply for 20 and get one. Especially when you're first beginning, it's really important just to cast a wide net, be flexible, and be able to go wherever you end up. The other thing I would say for people that are just thinking about getting started is start locally. So even if you just pick up a couple of house sits in your local area, even if it's just for a weekend, it gives you a chance to get a review from those homeowners. And once you get one or two reviews, it puts you a long way ahead of other brand new applicants. So it gives you a bit of a head start at that point. Once you start traveling and you want to do longer house sits, go places, you know, more exotic, then you're in a better place to be applying for those house sits.
Good points there. And are there any considerations that you look for when you're looking for a house sit? I mean, it's hard to tell just from photos on the internet or just from a description as to whether it's going to work for your family. Do you look at certain areas or length of time, the pets that they have, or anything else?
Look, there's lots of things to consider. We started off pretty much accepting anything that we could get because we were excited to have the opportunity. We have stumbled across a few barriers that as a family, we've decided that we, you know, are things that are really important to us. For example, working online, I've got to have good internet. So I even go as far as asking the homeowners now to send me a quick snapshot of their internet speed, because we've had instances where we've gotten to the house and discovered that the internet was really, really poor, and it's very difficult to work online and do business calls if I don't have decent internet. The other things that I would say, we limit the number of animals. I'm not really keen on having 5 dogs or 20 cats or, you know, those sorts of things, yeah, which I have seen. We've had trouble in the past with some puppies, especially if they're big puppies. The other thing that we've had is we've had kittens as well that we've found very difficult to care for, just because they're so active and, you know, through the night, and it just got really difficult and uncomfortable for us as a family. So we try to avoid some of those things. And I also try to avoid very specific requirements by homeowners. For example, you must walk the dogs for 2 hours at 5 o'clock in the morning. I know that's not going to suit my family. So we do try to avoid those type of ones. But generally speaking, as long as they have good internet, a reasonable number of pets, and are in an area that we are interested in. If we're a little bit out of town, it can get a little bit more difficult if we are without a car. If we're in a big city, car doesn't worry us at all. But we often find that homeowners lend us their car while they're away as well. So then it really doesn't matter where we are.
Okay. And you mentioned some of those specific requirements, and I can understand what you're talking about if someone is very particular about, you know, how they need their house looked after. And you could probably screen some of those beforehand. Are there any horror stories that spring to mind where you got somewhere and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be?
For the most part, we've actually been really lucky. That, you know, there's been some that we get there and it's not as clean as we might personally like. But you know what? We just spend a couple of hours cleaning it to what we're happy with. And really for us, we look at it from the point of view of this homeowner is giving us the opportunity to have an amazing experience in whatever city they're living in. And so we're pretty easygoing when it comes to those sorts of things. Probably the only – I've had two where, you know, I got to the end of one and the homeowners were very happy. They bought us presents. They, you know, did all sorts of things. And then I never heard from them again. So I don't know if there was a problem there. I've tried to reach out and say, well, you know, hey, what happened? But they've just not returned any of my messages. The other one, we had a bit of a misunderstanding with some of the requirements, some of the things they expected of us, and we thought we were doing the right thing. And when they came home, we discovered that there was a couple of little things that we'd inadvertently done by mistake. And then there was a couple of things that they got very, very particular about that we've never encountered in any of our travels. And all of our house sits to date have been a 5-star review. And so I was a bit disappointed to find that we only got a 4.5-star review from this lady. But, you know, these things happen. It's, you know, our reputation does speak for itself, and it's quite natural to have a few issues come up along the way. I think we've actually been quite fortunate to not have problems earlier. But for the most part, homeowners have been very easygoing. They're so thankful that you're there in their home caring for their animals. We're thankful that we're in their home, you know, getting free accommodation. And so it's a real win-win. We get to the end and they're giving us gifts and we're giving them gifts, and everybody's just so thankful to each party. That at the end of the day, they're just happy that you were there and that you've left their home neat and tidy and in a state that they're happy to come home to.
There's a good point on the making sure you're all on the same page. Is there etiquette that is like home sitters etiquette that you guys follow or seems to be general across the board, you know, with bringing your own food or linen and...
Yeah, so there's a few different things that we do. For example, we find that most homeowners allow some space for us in their pantry, for example. So we make a point of bringing things with us. But having said that, a lot of homeowners are quite open about, well, you know what, use whatever you want. Use whatever's in the fridge, use whatever is in the freezer. We've learnt, not so much the hard way, but we don't want to get into a spot where it's uncomfortable or we've misunderstood. So we do ask them straight up, now, do you want us to replace those things before we go? So generally, as far as the food is concerned, we supply our own anyway. We might use some of their, you know, spices, condiments, those sorts of things. Beyond that, we just try to be very reasonable. We try to leave the home in minimum the same standard that they've left it for us, if not better. And we've had lots of compliments about the fact that the home was even cleaner than we left it. Apart from that, just, you know, not running the heater too long, not running the air conditioners too long, trying to be reasonable. And then as far as caring for the animals, to us, it's absolutely imperative that we meet the homeowner's requirements, because to me, they've put trust in you to do the right thing. And I don't want to be a house sitter that takes advantage of that. And I think that goes a long way as far as our reputation in house sitting goes, because we do take such pride in what we do. We take our job as house sitters very serious, and we appreciate the confidence that the homeowners have given us. So we never take for granted the opportunity that we have, and we try to repay the homeowners by being very conscientious and meeting the needs that they've asked of us.
Wonderful. And I think some of our listeners would be on the other side of the fence, in that they're perhaps going away traveling for 2 months, and maybe they've looked at having house sitters in their house, and maybe they've been a little bit nervous about it. I think all that you've said would make them feel at ease, because I know that we hold the same values as well as what you've stated there.
I think it's really important for both homeowners and house sitters alike to have excellent communication. When things go wrong, it's generally because there's been a misunderstanding. So as a homeowner, leave detailed notes of what you expect your house sitter to do. Make sure you leave all the contact numbers, emergency contacts, organise with your vet or your electrician or whoever the case may be, what's going to happen if something goes wrong, who's going to pay the bill. I think it's just really important that everybody is completely upfront at the beginning, so that there's no room for misunderstanding, but also appreciate that for the most part, especially if you're getting somebody that's got a lot of good reviews, these are genuine people wanting to do the right thing. So if things do go wrong, understand that it's generally just miscommunication, and you know, these people are trying to do the right thing by you.
And one of the comments you made a little bit ago was of interest to me, and you said that you treat your job as a house sitter very seriously, but one of the other comments you made was it's a bit of a win-win, and I agree with that as well. I mean, the way I look at it, we're getting free accommodation, but also the homeowner is having someone look after the house, and that in itself is a good thing. When I've seen on some forums online and so forth, there seems to be an expectation of some homeowners that the house sitter should be paying them. And there seems to be an expectation of some house sitters that the homeowner should be paying them instead. In your experience, have you come across that from either perspective or either side very often, or is it mostly just that win-win?
My experience is that it's been win-win. I've seen people discuss the fact that homeowners have asked for money up front or vice versa. But for me, it is one of these things that is a true win-win for both parties. And as I said earlier, we get to the end of our house sits and we're so thankful for the amazing time that we've had in these people's home. And that doesn't just extend to we've been in this place and we've been able to go out and explore. That also includes the fact that we've had a home. You know, as a family, that's really important to us. And there's no way that I could afford to rent a four-bedroom house in every city we go to. We'd likely be in some small little hotel somewhere and have to go out and buy all of our food, you know, three meals a day. Whereas in these homes, we're able to really create a sense of home no matter where we are in the world. So for me, that experience, having animals to care for, we're big animal lovers. So that has had a huge impact on our travel experience. And again, helped us create a sense of home. So for us, we are so thankful for the opportunity we have. But on the flip side, homeowners are so thankful that they've been able to go away, relax, enjoy themselves, get regular updates from us, you know, see photos, know that their animals are being very well cared for, and that they really don't have to worry at all because they've got experienced house sitters there doing an amazing job looking after everything. So that's the philosophy I go into these things. I'm not willing to make any payments, and I don't expect payments because I love the win-win situation that occurs from house sitting. And I really want to encourage homeowners and house sitters to continue going that way because, you know, it could be very quickly eroded, and that's going to really take away from the experience that people, both sides of the coin, enjoy with the house sitting situation as it is at the moment.
And I 100% agree with you there. And I have to say, I've loved walking an 11-year-old border collie every day for the last 2 weeks.
And see more of a suburb that we would have never even gone to, which has been a really nice experience. We'd have probably just stuck to the touristy areas and the caravan park, but this has taken us into the suburbs of Darwin, which has been great.
For sure. And the animals have been a great way for us to feel more like locals as well. You know, you're out walking them, you take them to the dog park. Many homeowners will say, oh, okay, so on Tuesdays at 4:30, our dog goes down to the dog park and plays with their friends. So we go and we do that and we meet the locals and we connect with them, we make friends with them. And so it becomes a much more local experience compared to being a tourist. And we're not interested in being a tourist. We want to live our lives wherever we are. So, you know, we want to experience what our lives are and how they're impacted by living in a different country and incorporate their way of doing things into our lives. And so for us, being local, staying in local areas and having local experiences are very, very important. And we get to do that tenfold because we're staying in a local's home.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And we've definitely shot glances at each other when we've heard of some of the places you've been to. Could you perhaps tell me about your favourite ever house sit and where it was and what made it so special?
Oh, there's a lot of debate in our family about this one. The house sit in Alain in the UAE sticks in our mind all the time because the house was phenomenal. It was an older style home, but it was 3 stories, 7 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, a beautiful date farm, and in a culture that was so foreign to us. It took us so far out of our comfort zones. It really challenged our beliefs. And we learned that we had a lot of beliefs that we didn't realize we did, things that we'd almost had indoctrinated from the media. And so for us, it challenged a lot of that and allowed us to learn so much about another culture that we had no experience with. So the UAE was absolutely wonderful. We loved Sweden because we've never lived in the snow. And so for us, it was just magical to wake up every morning and the kids go out and throw snowballs at each other, to take the dog for a walk and, you know, go sledding and all of those sorts of things. That was incredible as well. And I mean, we loved San Miguel. San Miguel de Allende, Mexico, is just a phenomenal place. And the fact that we were able to move from house to house to house and stay in such a beautiful city for so long was an amazing experience.
And you mentioned about the challenge of the UAE and, you know, how that ended up becoming a positive thing. Overall, what would you say is the biggest challenge or the hardest thing about house sitting?
Oh, that's a really good question. For me, the hardest part of it is handover, because I get so nervous that I'm going to disappoint the homeowner in some way. I work so hard to make sure I meet all expectations and the house is spotless when they come back. But I put a lot of pressure on myself when it comes to that, because I really do appreciate what the homeowners have given us. Other than that, though, I'd just say making sure communication is open and that there's no room for miscommunication, because as I said earlier, that's where problems are going to arise. And I've heard some absolute horror stories where things have been miscommunicated and as a result, there's been huge dramas in the end. Other than that, though, as long as the homeowners give us very clear instructions, and I love it when we get there and there's, you know, a 10 or 20 page manual for us, you know, we study it regularly and there's far less chance that we're going to forget to do something or accidentally, you know, miss a requirement that the homeowner has. But yeah, absolutely. I think communication can be the hardest thing, and that's why I work really hard right from day one to make sure that everything is open and communication is done very thoroughly so that it eliminates any chance of something going wrong.
So I have to ask, when you are off doing these house sits around the world, what happens with your place? Do you have house sitters come in?
We actually sold everything we owned in 2015, and 2016, we started traveling the world full time. So we've just been house sitting full time ever since the start of 2016.
Okay.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds amazing.
It has been even more so than we thought. And as I said at the beginning, I'd not heard of house sitting. I learned about it when we were planning everything. And, you know, everybody talks about the benefits of it and everybody talks about free accommodation. We think we've saved probably somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 per year over the last 3 years because of house sitting. So, yeah, it's definitely a bonus that we enjoy for sure.
If there was a family who was thinking about, okay, I'm either traveling now around Australia in a caravan or I want to take the first step in starting my travels and that involves house sitting, what would be your number one piece of advice?
I would say start early. Start before you're ready to go. I mentioned earlier about getting a couple of reviews on the board before you want to start heading out. And that's really important because it's going to make things much easier for you. Beyond that, I think it's really important to learn as much as you can about, you know, hints and tips about, you know, all the different elements involved in putting everything together, how to do a good house sit, how to be a good applicant, how to stand out from the crowd. And that's actually where my course came about, because I just had so many friends and family say to me, oh, you know, we've tried house sitting and we just never got any house sits, or I'd love to house sit, but I have no idea where to start. And as is the case with so many things on the internet, there is so much information out there and it can be really, really tricky to figure out what's good and what's bad. So that's why I put our course together, because I'm able to take people step by step by step through every single step of the process. And as a result, we've had a bunch of our students, you know, come back into the group and say, guess what? I just got my first house sit. And they've been able to do that within a matter of weeks of starting. So, you know, depending how soon you want to do it, getting some help like that can be super advantageous.
Well, I think that's a beautiful lead-in for you to let our listeners know where they can find you on social media and the internet.
Absolutely. So I mentioned earlier, my business, my digital marketing business is Cabrosi.com, Cabrosi.com. So we do digital marketing. We do web design, building websites, graphic design, all of those sorts of things. And then my passion project is worldschoolingcentral.com, which is a hub for traveling families, whether that's full-time like us or families that have a home base and just like to incorporate travel into their family life as much as possible. We have a Facebook group. Just search World Schooling Central and you'll be able to find us. We're, I think, nearly at 5,000 members on there, and it's a wonderful group of supportive families that are at many different stages of their world schooling adventures. And then, of course, I have my House Sitting with Kids Kickstarter course, which you can find at worldschoolingcentral.com/house-sitting. And I'd love to invite anybody that wants to get started in house sitting to come and have a look at that, because it's $149, but it's going to save you a small fortune in time and effort and energy, and it's going to help you secure that first house sit quickly, which, you know, as we all know, one night in a house sit essentially is going to pay for the cost of the course. So
exactly.
It's a wonderful course as far as I'm concerned, because I just love being able to share my experiences and be able to work with people one-on-one when they have a problem, be able to answer them directly and give them that one-on-one advice.
So that's wonderful. You've given us a really good wrap-up of house sitting, and it's definitely opened Michael and my eyes to what is possible with more than just the local suburban house sit in our area. And I think we'll definitely look further afield. What's next on the agenda for you and your family?
Next on the agenda, well, we're staying in Australia for the rest of this year. We're having Christmas at home with the family, because in 2019 we want to head off overseas again. We're actually hosting through World Schooling Central. We're hosting a trip through Indonesia from the 1st to the 14th of April. We're going to go island hopping through the islands of Indonesia, go and visit the Komodo dragons, go swimming with manta rays, and, you know, explore the islands of Indonesia, get out of the, you know, the well-known touristy area of Bali, and go out and explore the islands. We did it in April of this year and it was just fabulous. So next year we're doing it with a group of family. So if anyone's interested in that, World Schooling Central Travel is where you can find that trip. And then beyond that, oh, you know, we have very loose plans, but we're not sure. We might RV the US. We might go back to Mexico. My daughter's desperate to go back to Mexico and see her friends and an adopted family over there. You know what? The sky's the limit. We will just keep traveling, and whatever form that is in, we will always incorporate house sitting because it just gives us so many benefits as a family.
That's amazing, and I am very interested in your Indonesian trip. We are Indonesia lovers here in our Peachy household, so I'll look that up as well, and maybe we'll see you at that. But thank you so much for coming on tonight or today and talking about house sitting. It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full-Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.